This is Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records. Each episode leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you direct from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. Today, you'll encounter the return of Steve Reich, metaphorically, symbolically, in the form of Pure Energy on Bob Cummins Jr.'s song, Don't Let the Light In. You'll learn what you can actually like about The National and how to make wacky sounds, Bob Cummins Jr. style. Take note. Don't Let the Light In is
the song that scared my mother.
Really?
Don't Let the Light... Yeah, because, I mean, there's a title, and yeah, it's sad.
It's a little scary.
Oh, my God. And it's Steve Reich is back, and this time he's synth. This was just me trying to do, like, a minimalist track using, I think it's two bit-crushed pianos harmonizing together, hard-panned. There's, like, a choir track... influenced by Radiohead's album OK Computer.
Not familiar.
Choir synth. There's also this, like, I think it's a Samson that's like patch going throughout the whole song. It almost sounds like a sitar or a banjo. This song was a very bitter song. I was listening to John Lennon's Imagine a lot when making this record, which I feel like doesn't come out in the actual songs too much, but yeah, it was about a falling out with a friend that I had, but I think it was also sort of about myself and the similarities that I had with this character. But yeah, it was fun to mix.
Yeah, it was a really fun one to mix. I think all I did was just like clean up a lot of stuff and add distortion where it was needed and take distortion away where it was needed. And the vocal sound, I think, is like one of my proudest moments on the record. I was just like, I don't even remember what I did, but I just remember like the vocals sounded not as present as I wanted them to. And then through like hours of you and I kind of going back and forth, we like settled on this like amazing vocal sound that I think is just like this perfect, like, almost like a...
Well, I was going for The National, doing the vocal take.
Right.
And I'm not a huge National fan, really. But I was like, I love his voice. I love the way he goes about it.
Yeah.
And it feels very, like, foreboding. Like, you've got this coming to you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. it's also, like, very calm.
Yeah.
And that's... The sense I got from your vocal, it was, like, almost like someone speaking at a podium... Like almost like someone in power speaking at a podium,
right,
but like speaking so calmly, and it's like this kind of juxtaposition of emotion, and it was really haunting. So I wanted to lean into sort of that like announcer kind of thing.
It's got that echo, like you know when you think about a like some guy who yelled at you in the grocery store for taking an apple that he wanted like 3 years ago, and you're in the shower and you're like, what I would have said to that guy in the moment. I feel like the song kind of has that vibe to it.
Yeah.
Where it's like that voice in your head.
I made you add some like resonant synth, like choo-choo.
Yeah,
some, like,
we brought
noises.
It back.
We brought it back.
Yes,
the bass in the beginning, that like melody line is a bass, and I just wanted it to sound like Tame Impala or something. Like it just needed to like have this like presence of like Less I Know the Better or
yeah.
something. It just
yeah.
needed to have this like intensity. But I think in the mix, it's one of those things that was just kind of already there, and I just added some stuff, and you and
right.
I were like, this sounds cool, you know.
Well, if you listen to the track, there's a sort of glitchy sound towards the beginning. It's because the jack on the bass was totally broken.
Yes.
So I had to sit really still while playing it, And so there's like a at the beginning of the song.
And I just ran that through distortion like it was nobody's business.
Yeah,
it was
and awesome. It's not intentional, but we made it intentional. Yes.
What's the solo at the end? There's like a crazy like glitchy solo at the end. I forget what that was.
So a lot of the original Logic files for this are gone. They're missing. So I couldn't tell you if I wanted to. But I think that it's me playing a chord, like arpeggiating a chord in real time on a MIDI instrument, and then put through a sequencer, and then that sequencer is auto-tuned. And then that auto-tune is pitch-shifted 12 octaves up.
And that is the coolest thing
so,
I've ever heard.
But it sounds like shredding.
Well, it sounds like it like matches the chaos that exists within the song. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like so, so good. That's also got just so much saturation on it.
Yes. Yes. And so big crushing, I believe.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Does anyone else think of Nintendo 64 menu music when they hear that ending? I know I do. Shout out to all the Dark Rift players out there. Subscribe to the podcast to learn even more about the rest of Shakewell track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter to learn more about what's next from the label and its galaxy of stars. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.